far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we get zoned in even more with Megazone 2-3 Part 2.
From now on, finding Johnny Winters has top priority over everything else. Is that understood? He's a murderer and a traitor, and it's our job to go out and find him.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure we'll pick up his trail any day now, sir.
You idiot.
You've already had 6 months to find him, and what have you got to show for it? Nothing at all!
You're right, sir, of course. My apologies. But we're bound to pick him up this time.
Just get on with it!
Yes, sir! At once!
I gotta at least try to keep it quiet because I am. It's late and everyone in my apartment is kind of asleep, so.
Oh, it's like 11 where you are, isn't it?
It's about 11. It's 10:56 now, so oh well.
Yeah, here it's only 8.
Yeah, that must be the joy of not experiencing time change in Arizona.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is. Part two, I guess, of our Megazone 2-3 talk, and we just got done watching the international dub to Megazone 2-3 Part 2, which, how did you guys enjoy it?
Well, it's a Carl Masek dub, so it's entertaining, but I'm sure a lot of modern anime fans would say, you know, what a sacrilegious thing they did by changing his name to Johnny Winters. And that kind of stuff, but
yeah.
it's hilarious to watch anyway.
Yeah, the version that we saw on YouTube is the edited version, which I had you, before we even watched the OVA, there's obviously another video of like the whole second part being in Japanese on YouTube, and I was like, okay, let me just go to these certain time periods of the stuff that they're going to cut out for you. And there was a few more edits in this that I kind of noticed, like when they cut out stuff, but I couldn't really – I think I showed you guys the two main ones.
The ones you showed us were the one with the metal tentacles going into people's eyes and the,
yes.
The 80s OVA sex scene.
Yes. Well, I like to call – I think Daryl Surratt from Anime World Order liked to call it the Yosumomi – Yasuomi Doggy Style Umetsu, who's the character designer for this. of course, Umetsu did the character designs for that one particular. He's done the character designs for a lot of other stuff, but in one particular, is anyone who's seen Robot Carnival remembers the one about the doll, which is probably the most beautifully animated one. And it's certainly, like, it really stands out in my mind as pretty much one of the better parts of Robot Carnival. It's the one that's titled for that is Presence. Since I'm on ANN looking up all the correct information, quote unquote.
Yeah, I did see Robot Carnival at one point, but
yeah,
I don't really remember all the names of each individual short. What was his about?
It was pretty much like a guy who works on a doll and it makes it very humanistic, and it's just like regarding the sharp detail to animation and how things look in that OVA is just really like attention grabbing and like just lets you say, wow, that is amazing to look at. And that was kind of his piece for Robot Carnival, was that I think if you watch it in order, I think it might be the second or third thing that you see.
Okay.
I mean, we'll have to cover Robot Carnival one day, but really with Robot Carnival, there's really not too much to talk about because it's kind of its own little thing, and they're very, you know, quick shorts, but they're mostly really good. So of course, Umetsu went ahead and actually did the chief animation director for part 3, which we will cover after this review. He was also chief animation director for this one and the character design, and did key animations. And this movie is actually kind of interesting because my personal favorite anime director, Ichiro Itano, directed this anime. And it's really coming from the guy who directed Angel Cop and Battle Royale High School later in his career. This is actually probably, and also the Violence Jack OVA Evil Town. This is actually probably one of his better pieces.
Oh, this is pretty tame compared to Violence Jack.
Yes. I think a lot of things are pretty tame compared to Violence Jack, so...
Yeah.
I mean, I like Battle Royale High School and how, like, crazy it is. And, of course, Angel Cop has a personal place in my heart. But, now, like, in terms of actually, like, a really, like, you know, just a sit-down anime and, you know, you're not going to get overly offended or feel like it's completely stupid. And it feels such like an action movie. It's a very, I think, a well-balanced OVA, and in my personal opinion, since we're going to cover all three, but I do happen to enjoy part two a little bit more than part one. I think it's the fact that part one was able to make a lot of sense on what it was trying to convey from part two in some ways, because it kind of, like, you know, part one, it was just kind of like it really had a hard time holding my attention regarding, like, the second part of it. But then once we get into this one, it was kind of like, you know, here's a biker gang. They're going to fight the system. And it's very simple to follow. And regarding the whole military and political aspects, like, they bring in the fact that, like, there's an alien invasion coming. And they do go into more detail later in this OVA regarding, you know, what really, how big of a threat they're facing regarding this alien invasion that's trying to take over their Megazone home or whatever. And
is that the go rape or whatever that are?
Yeah, you're, because in the chat you're like, oh, the go rapes are attacking or something. I wasn't paying attention when I heard that.
Yeah,
and then I saw in the text chat you're like, the go rape ? And I was like,
that's what it sounded like. I don't know how it's spelled, but
I don't really know, but. I guess we can kind of dive into this scene by scene. I mean, really, I think this is a whole lot easier to follow in terms of, like, plot and what happens next after this scene and everything. Which pretty much starts out with, this biker gang called Trash is playing at a bar cafe place. Also, when we get to seeing this, is there's a lot of, like, if anybody who's kept up with cartoons in the 80s, you're going to see two main things from cartoons in the 80s, which is a Silverhawks pinball machine and, like, the Thundercats emblem inside of it.
Yeah. Josh said it's... Well, was it done by the same animators or something? Or what was...
Yeah, that's... One of the animators who worked on both those shows worked on, like, I think, I'm pretty sure, let me see when this OVA came out. I thought it was like 86 or something.
Yeah, sometime in the 80s.
Yeah, it's in 86. So like Thundercats and Silverhawks was like 85, 86. So I think the animator who worked on both those shows worked on this. I couldn't tell you the name offhand, but that's what I've heard. So that's kind of a really neat throwback that you have a guy that's, he's like, to anyone who's fans of Silverhawks and Thundercats, I'm clearly, those are my shows that I worked on, because here I am clearly making offset, off-brand pinball games that the main characters are playing. So,
yeah.
And even though the text is a little bit changed, I guess, due to copyright or whatever, they thought of it, they kind of just redid the title, but kept the color scheme and like the characters just about the same, that you realize, okay, that's Silverhawks, or that's Thundercats.
Yeah, it was nice that they threw that in there. Otherwise, I don't think anyone would have known that the animators had worked on those shows.
Yeah, I know when I first saw this, I didn't think anything of it. I'm just like, well, why would they have Silverhawk stuff in here? Unless like the people who worked on this OVA are fans, and then it also says something else when. I guess someone who worked on those shows actually working on this. So at least that guy back then was getting, getting money out of that.
Yeah.
Maybe Umetsu was, I don't know, maybe Umetsu did work on those shows. Let me look on ANN. Let's see, Thundercats.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was somebody lower on the staff.
The totem pole. I think that's what it is too. So,
they're probably just the guy who drew that frame or something.
More than likely, yeah. See, all this information, like I think Daryl Surratt mentioned that when Anime World Order reviewed, Megazone Part 2, like forever ago, and that's when I heard about it. Of course, moving right along, it pretty much goes into. Obviously, the names are changed in this, like. They give it like these very American names because it is an international dub, quote unquote, even though it's subtitled in kanji and katagana and everything for the Japanese market. But they keep these American names, like regarding Shogo's Johnny Winters. Yui is Sue or Susie or whatever. They've even got some other characters in here that like I couldn't think of the really big fat guy's name.
Hmm.
I think they have him as Bubba. I'm looking at the dub thing, but also they had the fat woman called. No, I think his name's Guts, and then they had Dump was the bigger lady, which anybody out there who knows about Japanese women's pro wrestling in the 80s is obviously a callback to Dump Matsumoto of the Japanese women's league and everything. And also, a little bit of tidbit that Dump Matsumoto even did voice acting for animes such as like Crying Freeman, which there's even she's a very big girl, so they gave her the role of voice acting over a very fat girl in Crying Freeman. It kind of fits fitting. Pretty well. So
typecast based on weight. That's I wonder how they felt about that.
I think that's just kind of like the work that she could be able to do while her wrestling career was going down. So,
yeah.
Again, this is something that Daryl Surratt would know a whole lot more than obviously me, because I'm just kind of parroting off everything I've heard from him, perhaps, and whatever them and Fast Karate did when they talked about like their last Crying Freeman review or something from last year. So, but I just know that Dump Matsumoto has done a few other roles. I don't think it was just fat girls. I don't know. I have to look into that or something. But they do have her listed as Dump, which is actually kind of funny. So, it kind of shows that all animators on Japanese anime didn't just focus on anime. They liked other things.
Who was the voice actress for this character in this show? Was it the actual wrestler or?
The Japanese version, I'm not even sure what it's going to be. I'm not even sure what her name is. I'm not sure who her Japanese name would be. They have somebody called, I think her character name might be, again, this is something I probably have to watch in the Japanese version, but her character name might be, where'd it go? What's up? Okay, Dampy or something? Or Dom P?
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong, so. Also including in this is a character called Cindy, which is obviously a lookalike of Cindy Lauper from the 80s. Interesting thing about that is the fact that in the ADV dubs, Cindy was voiced by Tiffany Grant, which she actually did sign my Megazone 2-3 dub or my DVD a couple years ago at Bonsai Con when I first got the interview with her and everything. So,
oh, that's cool.
And she's actually, yeah, Cindy's actually, I thought Cindy was like a very minor character, and she kind of sort of is, but she does a lot more in the anime than I thought when I first saw this, which I thought was kind of interesting. What were you about to say?
Well, which character was Cindy again? I don't really remember what she did in this.
It was like the one that was like the last three couples that made it.
Oh.
She was the one that had like the blonde hair and like the fishnet wrist, like finger glove things or whatever. And she had like the really like blue eyeshadow on.
I like how 80s everyone looks in this. Like some of them have pink hair and everything.
Yeah, the pink highlighted hair and stuff. Some of them have mohawks. There's that one guy that had like a Wasp shirt, which I'm more than likely Wasp was a metal, like a hair metal band in the 80s.
Yeah.
I think I listened to some of their music and I did not find it appealing.
There's also Johnny Winters has a jacket that it says Sex Wax on it.
Yeah, for anybody who's into surfing. And it's still a really cool jacket to own if I ever came across a Sex Wax jacket. And there's also like the, and they also apparently drink American style beer like Budweiser and Heineken, which Heineken is German, I guess. I should probably know this. I don't know. I mean, pretty much in, I mean, so far what happens is the fact that like Shogo's been on the run for 6 months. And they make a thing where they finally get to meet up with Shogo, which he apparently like jacks a motorcycle and uses an airsoft gun to basically elude the police from shooting him in the face multiple times. And the cop is just like completely like stunned from it. And then, of course, he takes like a whole squad of police into this one parking alley and he meets up with his old gang, supposedly. And they all take on like the cops and everything. And that's when he got like the big, guy Guts, who's like basically like lifting the police car. And, then they got the other like main guy who's, I'm not even sure if Guts was the main, oh, man, I don't even know.
The main villain or?
Well, it was like his, like, John or Shogo's second, the guy with the pink highlighted hair and the blonde and the blue mixed in it.
Oh, that
the
guy.
One that had, yeah, the one that had the trench coat. I guess his name was Guts, or no, man, I don't even know.
I don't know either.
I really wasn't paying attention much in regarding just kind of like following along with the whatever we were watching, of course.
Yeah, I mean, we always have a Wikipedia page up for names, because, I mean, these characters, you see them once, you just see them in the movie. It's not like you really get a chance to really get to know them and their names and everything.
Well, I mean, they don't say, like, every time they go on screen, they're like, oh, hey, you know, such and such, every time they say it, they kind of just, like, they say their name once, and, okay, no. So I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and so Guts is the big guy. Lightning was the guy that was his second, basically, like the guy with the trench coat, and the guy that was basically with Cindy at the very end. So, Lightning was the one that like saw the cop, and the cop was like so scared to shoot the gun, and he's just like, "Oh, cool, here a 38. I've always wanted one of these," and just basically takes it out of his hand. And they got Guts running around like clotheslining police, like policemen, like basically charging through like their defense line, supposedly. And of course, all while this is happening, you have this military, like basically that war with the aliens is going on. There's apparently like this command fleet that was like trying to take them out, like gets completely gorily destroyed in brutal fashion with robotic tentacles going through the eyeballs and tear their clothes apart, which when this scene happened, there is a huge dip in quality in the animation. But I guess with the sacrifice of having better animation, I mean, having less detail, does come with better animation, so...
Yeah, I wonder why they... Why the animation switches quality so much in this OVA.
I'm wondering, like, they gave it to another studio to probably do that or something? Or, like, maybe some other people just, like, that was their job, and so they had, like, one color scheme for instead of adding any kind of shadow details. And just focused on tentacles just ripping apart people and other things. So that could also be the case there.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. And of course, we move on to after that. Let's see. I'm looking at my notes. Pretty much, there's like a group of the military that's like trying to find Johnny Winters the whole time. And then after like this whole thing about like one of the main guards like goes and like cold cocks one of his men because they couldn't find him for 6 months. Then it goes to the basically the group kind of hiding, going to this hideout, which is like next to a military base. Also, I want to say, like, when they had, before Johnny met up with his bike gang, that basically he was like driving through like a department store and everything. So there's this whole cool bike scene chase within that, and like tearing up clothes and people getting upset.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool bike chases in the Mega Zone.
Yeah, there's even the one that, like, towards the end regarding how they're, you know, taking on the military, like, going towards the central unit of Megazone, which we'll get to covering. So anyways, it goes to, like, the underground, like, club or group or whatever, and it's basically having the gang people, like, play pool with each other and drinking beer. And, of course, during this time, like, like, I guess, like, you know, Shogo and Johnny and Susie, you know, get to meet up. And they're trying to, like, catch up after 6 months. And she's worried, like, you know, you could have called me, Johnny. Why didn't you? And he's just like, well, I was kind of in a bad situation. And then, of course, like, the girls that are, like, you know, teaching are also there to teach her how to ride, like, Cindy and Dump and everything, ride a motorcycle. And then, of course, they get, like, they're able to try to send out, like, a fake message or try to get the gang's attention by, like, having Johnny go find the Garland. Because Eve is sending out all these messages about, you know, making sure that she finds Operator G7 and everything. So they, and then, of course, like, they, like, one of the radio operators, like, that's got this really ghetto setup regarding, communications, like, has, like, he's like the communication guys, but he's got like jumper cables, like, running the electricity through, like, you know, one of the loose wires in the wall and everything. So they're, you know, for a game that's like ragtag, they're very resourceful in like how they're able to get their information and everything, which causes Johnny and Lightning and Dump to basically, or not Dump, but Guts to go and get the Garland back. But of course, it was a setup to get Johnny's attention, and they, of course, they wound up evading it. It pretty much leading to, like, they evade the group, but then they have, like, two transmitters on the Garland bike, and one of them was harder to find than the other one, and they put the other one that they found, like, on a train. I mean, pretty much after that, they're, like, you know, they're basically escaped through this underground route in their base, and are driving through downtown, and there's a lot of, like, cool shootouts, and, like, you know, the bike gang is loaded up to the teeth regarding grenades and missiles and stuff. And you get to see some cool action shots. Like, there was the one where, like, the helicopter's flying under the bridge, going after, like, one of the motorcyclists or something. And then, like, apparently the pilot hits, like, the power line, and you just see him, like, get caught in that, and the helicopter keeps flying, and it gets, like, rebounded back or something. Like, it's made out of rubber. And you, like, when you see that, you're kind of like, oh, man, that's gotta hurt. So, like, when you say something like that, it kind of really gets you involved in, like, how well – it's kind of something out of an action movie you would see today on, like, you know, the impact factor. It's like, oh, man, that's got to hurt. And they put this in animation.
Yeah, even though this edits out a lot of the violence, it still got some cool action scenes in it for sure.
Yeah, it's not like they keep the action scenes in it, but they may just cut out some of the main gorier parts, I guess. But like, even with the little bit of edits here and there, it doesn't really take away from it. I mean, of course, like the group kind of splits up. Like, there's one thing where you figure like everyone dies kind of when they meet to that one roadblock, and you got the chick with the blue hair that gets like shot up or whatever. Like the whole group there. And you're thinking, okay, yeah, they're obviously dead. And then it kind of cuts over to the main group, like with Lightning and Shogo and everything. I'm just kind of looking through the notes. Then, of course, like Shogo, like, because Shogo's main purpose is to get to the center of the core of Megazone, where Eve is, obviously, because he has to meet her. And then, like, obviously, like, during this, like, you know, trap or whatever, at another, like, barrier set up to try to capture Shogo. Like, Lightning is in charge of the Garland bike, and then Shogo and then or Johnny Winters and Susie drive by him or something, and like in the whole mist of the distraction. And then of course when they find out, let me see if I can try to get to that line. There's actually some really cool lines in the dub, like in this, like one of them was like, "Eat hot lead, you fascist pigs," or something.
Oh yeah, I saw one. Josh posted that in the chat.
Yeah, that's a pretty good line.
Yeah, so like, one of the distract, like when they kind of take out, or like when the main military guy that's been after Johnny the whole time has Johnny, like you think he has Johnny cornered at this, like, you know, truck or something, and like Dump and the other guy are still with him or something, and like they rip apart like the head of the Garland, and then like you see like Lightning in there, and then and then like the main guy's just like, "Where's Johnny?" And then like his response is, "Who did you say? Johnny Winters?"
Oh yeah, the delivery on that is great. You gotta include it like after the show or something.
Yeah, like the delays on these like dubs, like to try to match it up, just it's really cheesy, but it's really hysterical. Like one of them was like the other biker guy with like the pink highlighted hair in the front or whatever. He's just like, "Get out, Johnny, get out while you still can."
Yeah, it's like really stilted delivery on a lot of the lines in this.
Yeah, but I think it just adds to that charm, because I'm just like, I see that, I'm like, this is just really good to listen to.
Yeah.
And then he have like the military's guy response. He's like, "Winters, Winters!"
Unfortunately, they only listed like five of the voice actors that are responsible for this great dub.
Of course, in the ANN credits, as I was looking at a moment ago, there's like a ton of people that are in this.
ANN was able to figure out who all the other characters are voiced by as well?
Yeah, I mean, well, people have done, and this is ANN, so people have a hand in editing list and stuff. So there's like a whole other list of like between the ADV dubbed actors and the ones in the international dub.
Okay.
Unless, like, it's pretty much, like, six people that did all the voices, and that's just how their range of how they act was able to fluctuate or something, so. Which also could be the case as well. Like, I didn't even hear Mike Reynolds in this, which, I guess there wasn't an old man part, except for, like, maybe the account, like, the captain that got destroyed by those robo-tentacles or something.
Oh, it could be.
I mean, that could have been a role for Mike Reynolds there.
That guy was in the edited version too, right? Just not as much.
Did what?
That captain was in the edited version too, just he didn't get killed on screen.
Yeah, we didn't see him get killed on screen, which is why I showed you those timed things in the other video. I was like, you guys probably need to see this.
Yeah.
But we also, I guess I kind of mentioned, like, before even, like, Johnny and Guts and Lightning headed out, like, there's a sex scene where, between Johnny and Susie, you know, getting it on after 6 months or something, again, because I guess this is kind of what lovers in that situation do, obviously. And it's, like, a 45-minute sex scene, but it's, you know, again, 80s sex scene OVA galore, where you see him, like, you know, grope the tits and everything, and then like you get to see like the movements I don't know. I was like, yeah, they did. They put in some care in that regarding him going in and out of Susie like that. But like, it didn't stay focused on it. It was like, okay, we need about 4 or 5 seconds here, and then we'll move on to the next sex position. But
yeah, what else did they cut out in those two scenes?
I think those are the only two ones that I know of, but everything else I would I haven't seen this OVA in a few years. I will say this much: I saw that 300 Rise of the Empire movie like last night. Really stupid. I will say the dumbest part of that is they have a sex scene in it, and you know, I'm sitting next to my brother and some people from our church group, and I just gotta say, like, it was just so stupid to see. Like, it was like trying to be aggravated, angry sex, and it just looks so awkward and terrible in there. And then I'm just like, guys, this is the worst porno I've ever seen. This is the only response I can blurt out in the theaters.
Wait, you said that out loud?
Oh, yes. a few people I know chuckled because they heard me, and I'm just like, I think I look at one of my brother and I'm like, damn, this porno sucks. It was just to track off from the OVA for just a moment to talk about 300, but crap. It was pretty dumb, so no one really has to go see it. It was like they had like really terrible, like we had a discussion about this last night, and they had like really terrible CGI blood effects in it. Like they were comparing it to the first movie, which I've only seen the first movie bootlegged. So, and that was like years ago, and I kind of forgotten almost everything about it. But they were like, yeah, you know, the CGI and like the effects in the first movie are a whole lot better than this one. And I'm like, well, this one is probably made for 3D, which is why it looks terrible in 2D. But I'm like, we're not going to pay the extra money to go see it in 3D, obviously. I mean, all I can say is the fact that the new 300 movie has, like, it doesn't even focus on Xerxes, the god king or whatever. It focuses on, like, this girl that was in charge of, like, the Navy or something. So that's, like, their little battle fighting the Greek army or the Athenians. And the actress's name is Eva Green, and she looks just like my art history teacher. So as I'm watching this the whole time, I'm just like, why? I'm like, Miss Whittle, why are you such a bitch in this movie? Because her name's Miss Whittle, and obviously I can't tell her that now because we're on spring break and she's in Italy with a class trip right now until next week. So I'll just let her know when I see her, and I'm like, yeah, you're in that movie and you're pretty mean and you had angry sex. I think that's all I can really say to her. Because her and me are pretty cool. Like, we'll have, like, movie discussions and stuff, so. But, she, like, I actually learned a little bit about, like, the whole 300 backstory and that, like, you know, regarding why the Spartans fought the Persians, and then, like, now, like, the Greece army is coming in because the Persians are obviously took out the whole Spartan army, or, like, the 300 that they sent to try to take him out. So, I don't know. It's just, it was pretty dumb. So no one really has to go see that unless you're just like that gung ho to see it. They bring a horse apparently into a naval battle, and that's all I can say.
Why?
They had a horse inside of like as their like special ultimate weapon, so that the main guy can use the horse to jump on other boats to get to the main naval girl on the Persian side and fight her. The horse dove into the water, and it was able to jump out of the water by, I don't know what it hit, but apparently it was able to have enough leverage to leap like 20 feet in the air to get to her ship. And I was just like, this movie cannot get any more stupider, and it just kind of slowly does. And I kind of feel like this, like 300 was like, I mean, it was Zack Snyder, I guess, had a hand in it somehow, but even though he didn't direct it, but it's like, I feel like it was a Zack Snyder film because you compare the sex scene in that to the sex scene in, like, The Watchmen, because the sex scene in Watchmen did not need to be there because it was just that stupid. And they're both about the same in stupidity. That's all I can really say on to to drive off track a little bit from our Megazone review on 300. So,
well, all I know about this movie was that it was based off of a Frank Miller sequel that he wrote for 300 that never got published, and I think there was a reason why it didn't get published.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because this, you know, this kind of ends on this cliffhanger where, like, Xerxes is still alive, so I'm guessing they're going to make another, like, movie to tie that in to kill him off, because Xerxes eventually dies off. I don't know, if anybody out there is a Greek historian listening to this, you'll probably already hate the movie for the fact that it came out, so, and we're probably totally wrong, and everything's wrong about that movie regardless, so, and historical-wise, at least.
It probably will get another movie, because I'm looking at the amount that it's made. It's already made well over its budget, like, after just a few days in theaters.
Oh my gosh, why are people so stupid to go see it? Like, I don't get that doing good, and then, like, you get a movie like Speed Racer, and it didn't do so well, or, gee, Dragon Ball Evolution, why didn't that get a sequel? That should have made a ton of money. I don't know. Well, I mean, speaking of sequels, there's no reason to have a Megazone 2-3 Part 3 sequel after this one.
But, yeah, pretty much. Jumping ahead here, I mean, Megazone is pretty much destroyed, so.
Yeah, I mean, but they crash. I guess we'll talk about the ending and then fill in the bits that kind of fills it up, but you're really not missing much. It was like, like, you know, Megazone gets destroyed, obviously, because Adam gets kicked in, and we'll just lead up to that point, whatever. But, so pretty much, like, Shogo meets up with Eve, and of course, like, he's bringing Susie with him, and then Cindy's watching the rear, and so apparently, like, Susie's injured, and then, like, he's able to meet up with Eve, and Eve is able to put her, like, on this, like, table to revive her or something. And then Shogo and Eve have a discussion regarding, like, her purpose.
Is this where the background kept changing?
Yeah, like every 5 seconds. And I'm guessing that's just like the animators showing off, flexing, or the background designers showing off their, you know, muscles. And like the animators too, because it just kind of changes. I'm like, okay, you know, they're changing the scenery. And they just kept repeating it over and over to, like, you know, they went from, like, the city, and then Eve starts giving her background, and then she's at the beach. And then it just goes to, like, they're in the city again. And, man, I don't even, like, there was one part where, like, she's in a motorcycle gear, and they're on the same conversation the whole entire time.
Yeah, and he's, like, talking about all this philosophical stuff or whatever, about all the problems with society, and why he doesn't want to be an adult, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he was just like, his thing was like, you know, I didn't want to be an adult because, or I wanted to grow up to be an adult so bad, and then I realized that being an adult sucks, and the rules are even worse than you are as a kid. So I've been trying to fight that.
Yeah, and while he's doing this, she's, like, doing exercises, and, like, the background is changing, and, like, all this weird stuff's going on, and it's like, why is this happening?
I just felt like it was going on like that, and then, like, Adam kicked in, which apparently Adam was, like, the ultimate, or I think that what I wrote in the notes. Okay, hang on. So Adam is as active and is taking people back to Earth. It was kind of its purpose, I guess, once they realized the invasion was there. And apparently Eve is only there to, was only used to get information about humans. So I guess that's why she was able to have a purpose in, like, being a pop idol and everything. So she can somehow, I don't know, control, like, the human race and Megazone, and, like, you know, get them to fight in the military and all that.
But they all, like, hate her. I mean, you remember this part where everybody was like, her music used to be good, but now it sucks.
Yeah, it was the propaganda piece, because, like, obviously that was something the government was behind. Yeah, that was, like, that was inside the biker gang place. Like, they've got a VHS player hooked up, and they're, like, watching, you know, these music, her music videos on it and everything, and commenting. I think there was some guy who wrote a review about Megazone 2-3 Part 2 on Let's Anime Blog, And his caption for like that whole like group of people watching Eve was like, this was the anime clubs I went to in like the 80s.
Oh.
Which I'm like, that was kind of rad.
Everybody was watching Megazone 23 at his anime
drinking
clubs.
Drinking beer and being part of a rad biker gang because that's appealed to anime fans in the 80s, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, nowadays it's probably not like that. Nowadays it's a bunch
of... You're not going to find punk teenage kids in biker gear and trying to fight society. It's, you know, punk autistic kids that...
Watching cute anime girls doing cute things.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's
too.
Not... I don't know. I mean, it's. I guess it's no different. If you compare that scene to, like, today's anime, like, the comparisons you have is, okay, adolescents are getting hard and hot over an anime girl on TV, and that's no different from today regarding dumb adolescents getting hot over anime girls on the screen.
Everybody,
the only difference is the culture of it.
Everybody in the comments kept comparing Eve to
Hatsune Miku.
Yeah, those Vocaloids and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's really
obviously
fair.
You mean the YouTube comments, right?
Yeah, on the videos we were watching, because we saw the whole thing on YouTube. Somebody's got it up in 9 parts.
Yeah, and it's been up there for like a few years now, so
yeah,
I'm glad nothing's happened to it yet as of this recording.
The description is all like, buy the official DVDs. This is just so you can compare it with the ADV version, and it's not like this is a available version these days in America anyway. You would have to import the Japanese home video release of Megazone 23. In order to even see this thing, even though it's an English dub, if you didn't watch it on YouTube, so it's a good thing that it's on there.
Yeah, it's not really like him fighting the system on like, oh, I'm putting this up there so no one has to buy anime. It's like, no, this is one section of it that's not widely available, and only YouTube I can put it up here to show it off. And, I mean, some of these videos are like, you know, they've got... like maybe 12,000 views or something. So it's not hugely popular, I guess. I guess it all really depends, and that's kind of sad, so.
He says it's dubbed by Harmony Gold. Is that true, or is it streamlined?
Well, I mean, that Harmony Gold is its own thing, so. He said, like, on the actual description... it was set as a teaching aid to the Japanese students for them to learn English.
Yeah.
So they would have to learn about dub like great lines like, who'd you say? Johnny Winters?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to talk to somebody who learned how to speak a language based on bad dubs. I mean, could you imagine how they would be acting? I mean...
I'm like, hey, can I get that soda? Like, I heard I was supposed to meet my boss here named Johnny, and they're like, would you say Johnny Winters? I'm like, I know habla Japanese. Poor Favor. I think with people watching this, it's really, I think this needs to be widely available. It's kind of one of those things, like, you know, obviously if maybe one day, perhaps, if we get, you know, if Discotech Media picks up the whole Megazone series, because I'm not sure even if ADV has the rights to it now, that they can add the international dub to part two.
Wait, is it out of print? The
I'm not too sure on that. I just know that they put out those collections like 6 years ago, which is how I got mine. And then maybe I thought they did it like right before they lost the license to it. But like, obviously ADV, or should I say Made in Japan / Section 23 Films / Sentai, has been doing a lot of rescue license on some of these older stuff. So I think if they do like put this out again, obviously they still have the license, or they got it again, but they may not put out this international dub, which
well,
has
how,
like
how's the
Discotech
ADV dub?
Would.
So if Discotech got it, they'd probably get both versions and include them both on the DVD. But the audio tracks wouldn't sync up because one of the versions is edited, so I guess they would have to have, like, two different versions of the movie that you could play, you know? Rather than just two audio tracks.
I mean, I heard this is off of a, the version that's online is edited, but there's an uncut version of it. So, Discotech would have to get that.
So Carl Masek made an uncut version and an edited version?
I think they did the whole uncut version and then had it edited probably thanks to Harmony Gold. I'm not too sure. It's all...
That's so weird because it wasn't this released on the Japanese home video where they have also the uncut Japanese version on there? So why would they need edits?
I mean, the only way they would edit it is, like, if they were bringing it over, but they never did. I think
they must have wanted to, and it just fell through for some reason. Maybe because Robotech the movie did so poorly.
There's an uncut version of this out there, so...
I think they probably didn't bring it over because Robotech the movie was a flop in the States. Like, it was just a few theaters in Texas, and it didn't do well there.
Yeah, I think that's... I think that might be the case of, like, them not... They probably were preparing for this, and then, like, they didn't... obviously put it out because of how badly Robotech the movie flopped. I guess to kind of finish up the movie, like apparently once Adam takes over the city and then like Shogo comes out of there, what's interesting is the fact that like BD's been in this the whole time and he's the guy with the blue hair. I should mention, like, because of Umetsu doing the character designs, everyone looks significantly different from the Haruhiko Mikimoto character designs from the other Megazone OVA, like, a year prior. I think that was really due to, like, Mikimoto working on something, I've never really gotten a solid answer regarding why the designs are all different. I guess it's just kind of different people worked on it when they were available. So I guess Umetsu was more available to work on this than Mikimoto was at the time. But of course, like Mikimoto's design of Eve has stayed consistently throughout all three OVAs, even though all three OVAs have different character designers in each one. So in this one, Umetsu has like the character designers who look very non-anime stereotypical. They kind of look more humanist. I mean, they still look anime, but like it's not like as, you know, cartoony as like the Megazone dub or those like, you know, really visually appealing character designs they did a lot in the 80s. So it was kind of more of a almost realistic, humanistic look to them, sort of. But obviously you can tell it's obviously a cartoon, but at least there, you know, Umetsu tries to make people look as human as possible, but still keeping that anime or that animation look to it. What I'm trying to say.
They're trying to make it look like people looked in the 80s, I guess, which is why they all look like real punk people from the 80s with their weird hair and stuff.
It's kind of like the guy who does the designs for Crying Freeman. I cannot think of the guy's name. And I've been working on something from him, and I can't reach anywhere up to get his name. But, Ikigami is the guy who does the art for Crying Freeman. And, like, the art for Crying Freeman regarding people, it's almost humanistic looking. And that's, like, a really interesting thing, and that's what Ikigami is really good at doing. At least on that, like, you know it's art, but you know it's not like him drawing a real person, but it's really close to where you can identify that's a real person than, like, you know, big eyes and small mouth or whatever. So, in this one, I mean, like, the people have, like, significant facial expressions and everything. Even though, like, obviously it has the moments where, like, you can tell, like, it's a cartoon because of how weird, like, Lightning's jaw will look when he's laughing and his tongue's all curly and everything. So, but it's still an interesting look regardless, but BD does show up and apparently like, Shogo just charges right at him and starts like trying to fight him regarding how he's complaining about how unfair the world is and how it's his problem for making it. And BD's defense on this was like, you know, look, I'm actually in a position where like, yeah, I understand the rules suck and that's what's part of being an adult, but you have a chance to turn that around. because the, you know, you may hate me because of the world that we live in, but I wasn't put in a position to try to defend the world we're in. Whereas you have a choice to make, to turn that around how you want to. And he's like, I'm very jealous of you for doing that, but it's my job to try to at least protect you guys for, to have that chance now, even though I am looked at as the bad guy. So that's kind of, I think that's really interesting that they have that in there. And, you know, BD is not as bad as, one might think from like the original Megazone OVA, but even in the original, like in the first part of Megazone 2-3, like he really also wasn't all a bad guy, even though, like, you know, it was his job to try to protect the city and he didn't want Shogo to get any further than what he had to do or had to be at. So,
yeah, and then, I guess he's still the villain, but it helps you understand his motivation.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of that whole, I think it was somebody mentioned how, like, Shogo's against this whole, like, uprising to, you know, regarding hating the adults, but then he's also becoming one as well. So it's kind of this hypocritical stance in a way. But I mean, really, like, you know, that's kind of like the part of growing up from adolescence to a grown up is taking on these responsibilities you would have to in order to make the world that you live in a much better place, or at least like try to make it a better place. And you have to, and sometimes you have to make some tough sacrifices, even though you may be looked at as the bad guy. And of course, like, this all ends with a music video to Megazone being destroyed, and then of course the last survivors of the gang being taken or flown to Earth in, like, the last, I guess, the central core of Megazone. And they land on Earth, and apparently Earth has been destroyed from nuclear fallout or whatever 500 years ago. But then they get on there, and it's lush and green, and there's rivers, and there's deer, going everywhere. And then it ends with lonely sunset. And that's pretty much Megazone 2-3 Part 2.
Yeah, I haven't seen the third one, so I kind of wonder where they're going to go after this, you know?
I don't want to say too much, but... I think the third one is like a few hundred years in the future from like when they land.
What?
Yes.
Is Johnny Winters not in it anymore? I guess you shouldn't spoil it. I'll see it soon.
We'll see it when we get around to reviewing it. So, and that would be in a few weeks. So,
and of course he's not going to be called Johnny Winters because the only dub of this one is the ADV dub, right?
Yes, as far that's actually the ADV dub is the only one I know of. So,
have you seen the ADV dub of Megazone 23? Is it shit or is it good?
I think I've seen the dub of the third part. I just know, like, we can pop it in. I just know that I don't want to spoil anything, but Vic is in it. But yeah. He says like a few lines, and that's like towards the very end.
I remember you saying it was annoying. Yeah.
Just from what the clips I saw of Vic, but then again, we had that whole discussion about how, like, you know, yeah, he's got that annoying voice, but it kind of really goes well with the characters that he does. So there's really no fault on him for having that, even though I might find it a bit strange that a guy, he's like near 40 and he still has that high-pitched voice. But I guess, I don't know, he might lose that.
Yeah, I mean,
he's like a middle-aged man that never hit puberty or something.
I guess there have to be people who can do that kind of voice because there's so many annoying characters in anime. They have to have somebody who's typecast, like Vic.
Yeah, but that's actually how he talks. And I guess there's certain people that's just how they talk no matter how old they get. So.
Wait, that's not just like some voice he's using in cartoons. He actually talks like that in real life, too.
Look at any panel on YouTube. And he sounds the exact same.
Oh, jeez.
Just all of them sound the exact same. Any voice actor. Like, they don't really... That's why I'm like, you know, like, the English voice acting, it's like, do they just really, like, quote-unquote act, or they just show up and just start talking? and portray emotion to how they talk. Because they're not changing the voice. Like, Steve Bloom talks the exact same way as he does if you hear an interview on him from, like, you know, A&N Cast or something, or AWO.
Yeah, that's true. He really does sound like Tom or Spike Spiegel.
It's just like, how do you call that acting when, like, you just show up to the studio? I mean, yeah, I understand there's acting regarding, like, how they have to read lines and convey emotion, but they're not changing a lot in their voice. But even though Steve Blum did change his voice for that one gay character in Gurren Lagann, which people really like, so
I
mean, there's a range there, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of all depends, but I think with it's just kind of your preference regarding if you like certain voice actors or not. So like preferably we kind of like the streamlined stuff. Because it feels like, you know, when you're watching this, it's like, you know, yeah, these are punks, but, you know, they talk in this, like, brash adult voice, and they're kind of like, they sound like a bunch of guys you kind of want to hang out with, because they sound cool. And I like that kind of, like, if someone talks like that, you kind of do want to hang out with them, even though they're sounding a lot older than the character than they're portraying. But I'm thinking, you know what, that's okay, I like that.
Yeah, this is a pretty cheesy dub, but it gets the 80s feel right and everything. And I mean, I would like to see the ADV version someday to compare it, but and also to see if they edited out anything else.
As far as I know, the ADV versions are true to the content, so they're not going to edit anything. I just know we can watch part 3 in the ADV dub. And yeah. Actually, let me see who's on that cast list.
Isn't there something like part 3 itself is 2 parts?
Yes. And they're both like 50 minutes long or something, so...
Oh, so it's just like an hour and a half movie if you watch both in a row.
Close to 2 hours maybe, or something like that.
Yeah. when do we want to do the last part anyway?
Yeah, all right, let's see what we got for English. So the main person in this is Eiji Takamaka, and he is voiced by Jay Hickman.
Okay, I don't know who that is, but...
Let's see what Jay Hickman has done. Monica Rowell is still the voice of Eve, so this is pretty much... Well, they've also got a Manga UK dub to this.
Oh.
So this was put out in... by Manga UK way before ADV got
That's the version we've got to see then.
I don't even know if it's on YouTube, but I guess it might still be on there, so I have
We should look it up, because a lot of manga dubs are on there. And it's probably pretty fun.
It's kind of like, Manga UK dub, welcome to the world of unnecessary cursing.
Yeah.
Creative swearing. Well, let me see what Jay Hickman has done. Let's see.
He is one of the ADV actors or the Manga UK actors?
ADV actor. He was in Dumbine as Shozama.
Oh, that's the that main guy.
Okay.
I think.
I don't think I remember hating his voice when I heard the dub of Dumbine, so I'm cool there.
Yeah, the only voice that's really bad in Dumbine is... the guy who's doing that Irish accent, and I kind of think it might be Vic, but...
Oh.
Is it Neil Guinness? I can't remember which character it is that has that accent, but
McGinnis? Is it, are you talking about the person who's the voice actor?
No, there's a character, I think, that was named Guinness. Hold on. And he's like an Irish guy, because in Dunbine they've got this multiracial cast where you've got the... a girl from Texas and the Asian guy, and you've got the, well, I think there's a guy from America too.
Okay. There's a Todd Guinness.
That's his name.
Yeah. He's voiced by John Grimleon. And then Vic did the voice of Neil Gibbons.
Gibbons. Okay. Yeah. I was getting Gibbons and Guinness mixed up.
So wait, is it Vic trying to sound Irish?
Well, one of those two guys has this obnoxious Irish accent that's obviously
fake. I would think Guinness, because that sounds close to Irish than Gibbons.
Yeah. Well, what is Gibbons? Is that like English or?
I don't know. I come from a German background, so whatever.
Yeah.
We'll cover Dumbine one of these days. Back to this Jay guy. Let's see. He was in Cromarty High School.
Which character?
I gotta find that. Listed as Shinichi Mekazawa.
Oh, that's that that robot dude that wears the jacket.
I have not seen any Chromati.
It's really weird. It's like 10 minutes. It's like the shortest anime I've seen.
I might check that out since you said it was 10 minutes.
well, there's 20...
I mean, is it like 10 minute episodes or the whole thing's 10 minutes?
No. There's 10 minute episodes and there's like 26 episodes.
Okay.
So it's like the length of like a 13 episode normal length series. I think probably when it aired on TV in America, it was probably airing with 2 episodes back to back.
Wait, did it air on Adult Swim?
No, it aired on Tech TV, I think.
Oh, okay. He also voiced Chew in One Piece.
Or maybe it was G4 by that point, but I'm not sure.
He voiced Itsuki Kizaragi in Razaphon.
Okay.
I'm just kind of going through some of this stuff. Like, he was in an OVA called Sorcerer on the Rocks, which I've seen. I mean, I've seen of the DVD cover a few times, but have never seen it.
So it's Shiba
Scotch.
This guy's mainly an ADV voice actor then, I guess.
Yep. A lot of these titles are pretty much coming from ADV, so.
Yeah, because I remember when I watched Razaphon that was an ADV title, I think.
Oh, yeah. I guess they did put out that.
It's kind of good, but it's like it's also kind of an obvious Eva ripoff.
I thought it was like trying to be a good Eva ripoff.
Yeah, that's the thing that distinguishes it from the other Eva ripoffs, like Pilot Candidate, is that it's actually good.
Wait, Pilot Candidate was an Eva ripoff?
Well, in a way, I mean, I think they called like the Mecha an Eva or one of them.
Whatever. He was in Angelic later as Shuji Inada. So, I think I kind of hit up most of this. He did a voice in the Unlimited Saga video game, or some of the voices in that, so. Apparently his thing was in Excel Saga. He was Watanabe in Excel Saga.
The director?
No, it's the character.
Okay.
You just got done seeing it, though, right?
Yeah, but I saw it subbed. Watanabe is the character is the director self-inserting himself into the plot.
Shinichi Watanabe, yeah, that's him. So that's got to be the guy with the afro and everything, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did see Puni Puni Poemi. Dubbed, and Nabe Shin, or Watanabe, was in that, and I don't remember thinking his voice was really that bad, but the main character's voice was so annoying. I find it really hard to watch ADV dubs sometimes. There's some really poor acting in those sometimes, and I've heard that Section 23 has not really improved much.
Oh, Part 3 of Megazone?
No, I mean, just in general, I hear a lot of bad things about even recent ADV dubs.
They're recent dubs. Well, that GoGo 13 TV series dub is laughably great.
Oh. So,
it's like, because I've heard, like, I think somebody did a comparison dub of a Sentai show, like, in some other show they licensed, and they made, like, a clip show on YouTube. And, yeah, it was like the clips that they showed was just like to show how terrible like Section 23 dubs are, and yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I still like watching GoGo dubbed. So I think the first 13 episodes is still on Netflix. If we ever want to get around to reviewing it, even though I've got the entire series on DVD, so I think we're about done with Megazone 2-3 Part 2. So
yeah.
And all we've been doing is rambling on voice acting, and I mentioned how dumb 300 Rise of the Empire is, because there's really nothing much to talk about that movie.
Okay.
I think having another shorter episode is pretty good, so unless you guys had something to say about, I don't know, something on Toonami or how Blue Exorcist is coming along or something.
Did you see episode 3?
Not yet. I'll probably watch it tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't really have much to say about Toonami. 2 weeks until Black Lagoon, I guess that's one thing that is coming up.
Yeah.
How long is that show, anyway?
It's 26 episodes.
Okay, so I guess we can just do closing remarks. I'll read some of that Goku tweets.
Oh yeah.
I am not a Satanist anymore. I did some reading. They do weird sex stuff. And here's the next one. Right now, I would like to discuss the evolution of the Piccolo character in the Dragon Ball universe. It is good. Very in-depth analysis of DBZ here. Okay, what are you guys' closing remarks?
That is some solid information.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to mention... I was actually going to mention that Space Dandy is going to go on break after episode 13, but it is getting 26 episodes, so the back half will probably air, like, during the summer or so.
Wait, is episode 13 coming up this weekend?
No, it's going to be at the end of the month.
Oh, okay. I'm lost count on what episode we are in Space Dandy.
This past Saturday was episode 10.
Okay. Yeah.
So if anybody's listening, I don't know when this is going to come out, but the one that just aired was...
probably end of the month.
the episode with the time loop.
Yeah, they have to use the drill that the Meowth's dad had to, like, drill one of the page off of the calendar, which has been in a loop for like almost a year.
Oh yeah,
technically speaking,
they were like firing weapons at the calendar, and they couldn't do anything. But then some drill somehow gets it off.
Yeah, because it was so precise, and I just like the fact that the narrator called Dandy the robot and Meow like Pinhead, Blockhead, and like. The other name, I can't think of it.
Oh, yeah. Bonehead or something.
Yeah, Bonehead.
And I'm also going to add in a quote from Blue Exorcist. I'm going to punch the shit out of Satan.
Oh, yeah, that was last week's episode.
It's kind of surprising that... I don't know when Turner's standards changed, but they used to always censor shit until, I think, like this year or last year.
Wait, are you saying censor shit as, like, a plural, like, as, like, oh, that's, like, saying stuff, or, like, just the word
no,
shit?
No, I mean, they used to censor...
Because I feel like it can go both ways.
They used to censor the word shit, but they don't do it anymore. The only thing they censor anymore is fuck, but they claim that's not going to be a big deal with the new show, but everybody keeps saying that it's used like 300 times in the show or something, so I have to wonder if it's even going to be watchable.
And then there's a show about Satan and Jesus and exorcism.
Yeah. Huh. It seems like they're really trying to be more adult after they picked up all these long-running shonen shows, and everybody there was all this backlash. They're saying, what are you doing? You're on Adult Swim. And now they're trying to, I don't know, push the boundaries a bit more, but who knows how well these new shows will do. Blue Exorcist is doing them okay so far, I guess.
I just know, I think Black Lagoon's got a lot of swearing, so if they're going to push the boundaries, it's going to be that show. And I'm still going to record off TV, obviously, so...
Yeah, who owns... Who did the dub for Black Lagoon? It's a Funimation show, right?
Yes. I wonder who had Black Lagoon originally. I don't think it was... it's like, I want to say, oh, it was ADV, but I don't think so.
Maybe it was Jenny Han.
That might have been it, because I know Funimation did a license rescue.
They snatched up, like, most of Jenny Han's stuff.
Okay. Let's see who put it out originally. Let's see.
Or maybe it was when they were called Pioneer.
Oh, yeah.
Or it could be a different company entirely, like maybe it's Bandai or something.
Let's see, English. Let's see, the ADR was done by Ocean, broadcast distributor was it's put up by Mog Entertainment in the UK. Madman Entertainment had it, but that expired, and then Funimation picked it up in 2008, so maybe it's always been with Funimation. No. It was licensed by Guineon. That's right. Okay.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah.
It's an Ocean dub. Well, those, I guess, can go either way.
Let's see what we got here in terms of voice actors. A lot of these names do not stand out to me, but, I don't know. Well, I don't see Vic's name on this, so
yeah,
I think it'd be a good show.
Yeah, I doubt he's gonna be on it.
he's like some of the roles he has him say swear words, but I mean, I think that's few and far between. So I don't know.
Okay, did you guys do your closing remarks?
Yeah,
I'm gonna end mine with. Who'd you say? Johnny Winters?
What's the ending theme for the episode going to be? That Japanese song that Eve was singing in the middle of the episode?
Lonely sunset. Da, da. That will be our ending. Right. You know me. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, tune in next time for the last part of Megazone March, or it might come out in April.
More likely, probably April. So, we kind of semi-discussed this on the last episode, so, or the one we recorded last week that'll come out this Friday. So.
Are all the other episodes, except for that most recent one, out?
The last one that's out on our site as of this recording is our Gundam The Origin one, but I've got Megazone 2-3 Part 1 already ready to... I got it scheduled to come out on Friday, and then I'll do the same with this one probably either before or after I leave for Florida on Wednesday for spring break vacation. So it'll all be good. Don't worry.
You notice that Daft has not been recording massive amounts of material you don't know what to do with like he has
yeah,
in the past.
I mean, we still got the stuff we did for Anime 82. And I think that guy on that website or that podcast is going to put our stuff out sometime eventually, so we'll see. He's been in Mexico for a whole month, I guess, on vacation or doing whatever. Well, he's in Mexico because he was able to put up on his own freaking website that I'm going to be in Mexico sharing anime love or whatever. No, you're not.
Is this the guy who gave us a bunch of questions that we had to read the answers to, and he was going to like edit them in with other people's answers, and we ended up recording like a 3-hour podcast or something.
Yes, but it was 2 hours. There's another Anime World Order's got like 3 hours of material, so they actually beat us.
Yeah, so this is going to be
like
at least 5 hours.
You can have that.
This is going to be like at least a 5-hour podcast, and this guy's like on vacation and not editing it. It's probably never going to come out.
It'll come out maybe this year, perhaps. Who knows? It's not. We did our other thing where we sent him Arcadia My Youth, and like when I did my CarCast collection thing, and that was back in October when I sent that to him. So, man, I freaking don't know. I've got the other stuff in case if it doesn't come out on his end, I can always put it out on our end. But I think we got enough material to last us till the summer, and during the summer we can be able to watch a little bit more since we're out of school.
Yeah.
And I'll be working, obviously, which that won't be too bad.
I am taking a couple of summer school classes, but they're online.
Okay. Alright, I think that's going to do it for our episode. Okay. We'll come back to us at when we put up part 3, obviously. That dreaded part 3.
Johnny, get out of here! Go on, get out while you still can!
Go on, Johnny!
Johnny, you crazy?
Dead heroes don't do anybody any good! Get down!
My orders were to take you alive. Fire!
Johnny! Those sons are...
Come on out, Winters.
Who did you say? Johnny Winters? So sorry, I don't know the guy.
Hey, the joke's on you, Armstrong.
The Gory! No!
What was that?
Take a look at your real enemy, the Gorik. And if Winters doesn't give himself up, you're all gonna end up like that.
Winters!